Welcome to Monday's Messages, brought to you by A.T. Stewart Ministries. I'm your host, A.T. Stewart. We are in a series called The Secret of Happiness. I hope you will be inspired by God's truth. Take your Bibles and join me as we look at The Secret of Happiness.
So take out your Bibles, turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. Today we have come to the third beatitude. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. I would ask you to stand in respect for the Word of God as I read beginning in verse 1. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." You may be seated. Today we're looking at the blessing, the joy, the happiness that comes from being truly meek or gentle. It may surprise you that gentleness or meekness is a very important quality in the Christian life. In fact, the scripture says that our witnessing should be tempered with gentleness. In 1 Peter 3:15, we read, "Always being ready to make a defense to everyone who ask you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." Not only should gentleness be an instrumental part of our witnessing, but we should actually pursue after it, as we see in 2 Timothy chapter 6. "You, man of God, pursue after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness." So it's something that we should pursue after. Also, the Bible says that a gentle spirit is precious in God's sight. 1 Peter 3:4. "But let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God." And then gentleness is a part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness." And so gentleness, meekness, is a very important quality in the Christian life. Therefore, we should not be surprised at all that Jesus includes this quality of gentleness in these Beatitudes. As we study this Beatitude, it is again imperative that we get a very good understanding of this key word, gentleness or meekness. Just as we saw in the first two Beatitudes that we needed to understand clearly what was meant by poor in spirit and what it meant for someone to mourn, we need to understand this concept of meekness or being gentle. Now, the Greek word, proutes, literally means mild, gentle, pliable. In the ancient Greek literature, it was used of persons who were mild, friendly, gentle, or pleasant. It's just the opposite of roughness and harshness or violence. Hence, proutes was translated into the English as meek in the King James translation. Most of us know the Beatitude, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." But the problem with the word meek in our day is that it carries connotations of weakness, of cowardice, of being spineless. And this is not at all what Jesus had in mind when he said, "Blessed are the proutes." And so it has been translated by most modern translators as the word gentle rather than meek. But as we have seen with other words that we've translated from Greek into English, that the word is much richer in the Greek language than a simple English word, gentle. And so it is in this word, proutes. It's a very rich word. And I want to help unfold the richness of its meaning to you this morning so that you and I will truly understand what Jesus is saying when he says, "Blessed are the gentle or the meek." Now, we're going to define it in three aspects in relation to three things. First, proutes in relation to anger. Gentle or meekness in relation to anger. Aristotle, that Greek philosopher, defined meekness as that happy medium between excessive anger and no anger at all. Now, we usually think of a meek person as one who never gets angry or upset. But that's not true. A meek person gets angry, but it's always for the right reason and it's always at the right time. A meek person does not blow his stack, but neither does he idly sit by and allow others to be victimized. You may or may not be aware that Jesus, the very embodiment of meekness, got angry. Over in Mark's Gospel, chapter 3, what we see is Jesus there in the synagogue on the Sabbath, and there was a man there that had a withered hand. Now, in Jesus' day, this was a tremendous handicap. They didn't have public assistance programs to help people. And so if you couldn't work, you had to beg. Or either you starved to death. And so this man was in definitely a hard way because he couldn't work for this withered hand. And Jesus wanted and desired to heal this man. But it was the Sabbath day. And the religious leaders believed that it was wrong, it was a sin to heal someone on the Sabbath day. Now, it wasn't. Nowhere in the Old Testament does it say you shouldn't heal somebody on the Sabbath, but the scribes and Pharisees had developed their own tradition of what was right and wrong, and they had said you can't heal anybody on the Sabbath. You can keep them from getting worse, but you can't make them get any better. And so Jesus looked around at these religious leaders and he knew that their hearts were hard and that they had absolutely no compassion on this man with the withered hand. And they were more concerned about their silly little rules than they were this man who had this withered hand. And here we pick up the story in Mark 3. And he said to them, that is Jesus, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" But they kept silent because they knew how stupid it would look if they said, "Well, you shouldn't make anybody better." After looking around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, Jesus, the very embodiment of meekness and gentleness, became angry at these religious leaders because they were victimizing this man with the withered hand. They were treating him with no compassion at all. If anything, they were treating him with contempt. Now, this tells us that anger, the anger of a meek person, is never a selfish anger. A meek person never gets angry when somebody injures or insults them. Now, Jesus got insulted more than you and I have ever been insulted, but he never got angry when people insulted him, when people persecuted him, when they crucified him. He never got angry because the meek person does not have a selfish anger. They do not get angry when somebody does something wrong to them. They don't fight back in anger, but rather they get angry when they see other people being victimized. They will stand up for somebody else's rights, but they would not get angry and upset because somebody had victimized them. Now, the example of Moses is a great example of this type of quality of meekness in relation to anger. Remember, the meek person always gets angry at the right time for the right reason, never gets angry at the wrong time for the wrong reason. All right, look at Moses. Over in Numbers chapter 12, we have a little story going on, an incident between Moses and his brother Aaron and his sister Miriam. Now, you and I know God raised up Moses to lead his people out of Israel. We know that God met with Moses in the burning bush, and that God would meet with Moses face to face and talk to him as he talked to no one else. And that God had even given Aaron a place and Miriam, his sister, a place over the women there. But we clearly know Moses was God's spokesman, his leader. Well, in this passage in Numbers, Moses' first wife had died, and he had married a Cushite. Now, the Cushites were from Africa, and they were black. And so his brother and sister got upset with him because he married this Cushite. And so they come to him, and they say, "Who said you are the one that's to lead? Has not God lifted us up as leaders as well?" And they were just upset because he'd married this Cushite. But Moses didn't get angry at him. Not at all. But you know who does get angry? God. And God comes down in a cloud and he says to him, "You know, when I speak to prophets, I speak to them in visions, dreams. But when I speak to Moses, I speak to him face to face, like nobody else. How dare you question Moses?" And then it says, "The anger of the Lord burned against them." Moses wasn't angry, even though they were challenging his leadership. And then the cloud left, and guess what? Miriam had leprosy. Her skin had turned white with leprosy. Moses prayed for her. He prayed that God would heal her. Now, how's that for meekness? They challenge his leadership. They insult him. They reject his wife. Rather than getting angry and upset with them, he prays that God would heal her from this leprosy. The embodiment of this concept of being angry at the right time for the right reason, never at the wrong time for the wrong reason. And then over in Exodus 32, though, we see another incident in Moses' life when he's been on the mountain with God and he's received the Ten Commandments, and he comes down, and what does he find? He finds the children of Israel having an orgy, worshiping a golden calf, committing all sorts of idolatries and indecencies, and dishonoring their God. You know what Moses does? We read in Exodus 32, verse 19. "It came about as soon as Moses came near the camp, he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger burned. And he threw the tablets from his hands and shattered them on the foot of the mountain." Here we have Moses getting angry. Why is he getting angry now? And he didn't get angry earlier. He's getting angry now because God's honor has been challenged. These people had assaulted his God and insulted him. And so for the honor of God, Moses gets zealous. It wasn't his own leadership. It was God that they were attacking. And so his anger burns because a meek person gets angry at the right time for the right reason, never at the wrong time for the wrong reason. Blessed is the man, Jesus says, who always gets angry for the right reason at the right time and never gets angry for the wrong reason at the wrong time. So that's meekness as it relates to anger. Now let's look at meekness as it relates to submission and to obedience and to control. This word proutes was also used in the Greek language of a wild horse that had been tamed. Now we've all seen the westerns where the bucking bronco, where the Mustang or the horse is taken from the wild and he is unbroken and the cowboy has to break him, so he puts the saddle on him and then he gets on and hangs on for dear life. And that horse bucks and bucks and bucks and finally he quits. He's broken. Now that's the picture of this word when it relates to control and to submission and to obedience. Now that wild Mustang that's been broken, it's not any weaker than it was before. It's simply that its power, its strength has come under control. You see, a meek person is one whose emotions, whose strength are under the control of God. This tamed horse has the same spirit and energy of a Kentucky Derby winner, but it is now under control. The horse doesn't suddenly become weak and sickly when it's tamed. Rather, all of its spirit, all of its energy are now under the control of the master. So it is with us when we are meek. We don't suddenly become cowardice. We don't become a wet noodle. No. But all of our energy, all of our vigor, all of our passion comes under the control of Christ. That's what makes us meek. Your determination to succeed is just as great as it was before you became a Christian, but now that determination is under the control of the Holy Spirit. A meek person is one who's living in submission to God and the authorities that God has placed in his life. One of the best examples I know of this is the Apostle Paul. Before Paul got saved, man, he was one determined guy. Man, he had zeal. He had determination. He had follow through. He had perseverance. He would leave no stone unturned to find a Christian worshiping Jesus so he could persecute him and throw him into prison. He would travel all over Israel for the purpose of finding these people who were worshiping this so-called Jesus so that he could throw them into prison. Man, he was zealous. He was strong-willed. He was determined. He had a lot of energy. He had a lot of zeal. And then on that road to Damascus, the Holy Spirit of God got a hold of him, converted him. But Paul didn't suddenly become a coward. He didn't suddenly become someone who was just weak and I don't guess I got anything to do now. No. Man, all of that zeal and all of that energy and all of that determination and all of that perseverance came under the control of Christ. And he was just as zealous to serve Jesus as he had been to persecute those who walked with Jesus, wasn't he? God used that zeal and that energy to move Paul to go all over the known world at that time, proclaiming the gospel, the truth, under hardships, being stoned and beaten with rods and shipwrecked and insulted in distress and hunger and all these things. But Paul didn't give up. He didn't quit. Yet he was a meek man. So Jesus is saying, blessed is the person whose every instinct, whose every impulse, whose every passion is under the control of the Holy Spirit. And then thirdly, let's look at this concept of meekness in relation to humility. Meekness or gentleness cannot be separated from humility. You see, the meek person is both poor in spirit and he also mourns over his sins. The person who is meek in spirit is one who first of all humbles himself under the Word of God. His attitude is God's Word says it, that settles it. People say, well, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. No, God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not, right? And that's what the humble person says. God, it's in your Word, it's true, I will by your grace do it. The humble person, the meek person has a teachable spirit. They come to the Word of God wanting to learn, wanting to be instructed by God, eager to be taught by Jesus. Because he has submitted in humility to the authority of the Scripture in his life, to God's Word. But not only does he humble himself to the Word of God, but this gentle person also humbles himself to the ways of God working in his life. W.E. Vine, who has a dictionary of the Old Testament and New Testament words of the Greek, explains proutes this way. It is that temper of spirit in which we accept God's dealings with us as good, and therefore without disputing or resisting. You see, the meek person realizes the sovereignty of God in his life, and he patiently endures whatever hardships come his way, knowing that God has a reason for what's happening. He knows that God is using these things to conform him to the image of Christ, to mature him in his faith. And rather than becoming embittered and resentful toward God when hardships come, instead he humbles himself under the mighty hand of God and says, God, I know you're working out your plan. And I submit to that and I accept that. I'm waiting on you. A good example of this was Joseph. You remember him in the Old Testament? Joseph's brothers hated him so much that they threw him in a pit to kill him. They were going to leave him as dead. And then one of the brothers said, well, why don't we make some money off of this? We leave him in this pit. He dies. We don't make anything. Let's sell him as a slave. So they sell him into slavery. Now, how would you feel if one of your siblings or your siblings all together decide they want to sell you into slavery? So here he gets sold into slavery. And then he gets put into Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife makes an advance on him, and he resists, and so she lies and tells her husband what's happened, and he gets thrown into prison. And then he's in prison for a number of years, and he has a butler and a baker in there, and they tell him some dreams they've had, and God gives him the interpretation of the dreams, and one of them is that the butler will be back, and or the baker will be back working for the king. And Joseph says, now remember me when you go to the king. You tell him about me now so I can get out of here. Well, guy gets out. A week passes. Doesn't hear anything. A month passes. 2 months. A year passes, and he hadn't heard anything. 2 years pass. Still didn't hear anything. 3 years. Finally, the guy remembers, and he says something to the king. Joseph comes out. King makes him second in command because he interprets a dream about a famine that's coming. And so Joseph gathers the extra wheat during the years of plenty and stores it. Lo and behold, when the famine comes, guess who has to come down and get something to eat? His brothers. Now, if Joseph is a meek person, he won't be holding a grudge. He won't try to get back at his brothers. He won't be seeking revenge. If he is a meek person, he'll only get angry at the right time for the right reason, never at the wrong time for the wrong reason. And the wrong reason is when somebody hurts you, a selfish anger, right? If he is a meek man, his every impulse, his every passion will be under the control of the Holy Spirit. If he's a meek man, he will believe and understand that even what he went through It was a part of God's sovereign plan for his life and had a purpose to it. Well, what do we see when those brothers come down and he speaks to them in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20? Joseph is speaking. He says, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive." Joseph had meekness. He had humbled himself under the ways of God. "You meant it for evil, but my God took it, and he brought good out of it. I was able, by his grace, to save many people from starving because he promoted me through all of this that happened." He didn't take revenge on his brothers. In fact, he wept. He ended up hugging their necks and telling them who he was. How do you measure up? How do we define meekness, gentleness? First, a person always gets angry at the right reason, the right time. Never gets angry at the wrong reason for the wrong time. It's a person whose every impulse, every instinct, every passion is under control of God. It's a person who recognizes himself as being humbled to the ways and word of God. How do you measure up? Let me ask you some questions to help you, okay? Here we go. How do you respond when someone does you wrong? You know, somebody lied about you at work, said something about you wasn't true, told the boss something wrong about you. How do you respond? Do you hold a grudge? Do you get resentful and bitter when people fall short of what you expect and don't meet your expectation? Do you lose your temper when someone cheats you? Do you come to God's word wanting to be taught of God? Are you desirous to change any part of your life that's not pleasing to God? Do you get angry when you see someone dishonoring God by their language or their ways? Do you turn the other cheek or strike back when someone attacks you, insults you? How do you measure up? Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. Well, how can we see more meekness, more gentleness in our life? I want to tell you three things. First, realize that it is a part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Acknowledge that in yourself you probably don't have it. Now, I'll be the first to admit that certain personality types have more gentleness than others of us. Some of us just don't have hardly any at all. In fact, I doubt if I got any in my natural self. I just see these folks that are gentle naturally, and I think, man, I wish I was that nice. You know, it's just like it just oozes out of them. You know, they're nice, they're polite. But regardless of your personality, it is a part of the fruit of the Spirit, so you do have it as a Christian. Acknowledge you don't have it in yourself, but in Christ you do have all the gentleness you will ever need. Trust the Holy Spirit to produce it in your life as you yield to Him. Submit every area of your life to Christ's Lordship. And when you find yourself reacting in the wrong way for the wrong reason, you say, "Wait, I confess, God, this is not gentleness. This is just the opposite. But you're in me. Your gentleness is in me. I'm trusting you now to just apply that gentleness I need in this situation." You ever had anybody jump in front of you in line somewhere? Huh? How do you react to that? Oh. How about cut you off in the call? All right, now I'm preaching. Next time that happens, you're going to have an opportunity to pray. God, give me that gentleness. Give me that gentleness. I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be upset. Give me that gentleness. And He'll supply it as you look to Him, as you trust Him for it. Secondly, surrender your personal rights to God. You see, 95% of the time when we get upset and angry, it's because we feel like somebody has trampled on one of our personal rights. Like they cut in front of you in line. You don't have the right to do that. I've been waiting here. Surrender those to God. He can look after you. He can take care of you much better than you can take care of yourself. When you catch yourself getting angry, identify which right you feel like has been violated. There ain't right to talk about me like that. You're probably worse than what they're saying, really. Truth were known, right? You ought to be happy they're speaking as well of you as they are. If they really knew you, it'd be a lot worse. But we act like, I can't believe they're saying that about me. Identify, what is it that's making you angry? Why is it that you are resisting? What right is it you feel like has been trampled? And then surrender that to God. Say, God, I give that to you. You can protect me. Moses didn't worry about when people challenged his leadership because he knew God would establish his leadership. It wasn't for him to do it. And he was challenged more than once. But he didn't get angry about that. But God stepped in and protected him. And then thirdly, exercise faith in God's sovereign control of your life. Realize that nothing, I mean absolutely nothing, can come into your life that does not come through the sovereign hand of God before it gets to you. Realize that. Humble yourself under His ways. You may not understand it. You may certainly not like it. But claim Romans 8:28, that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. As you look to Him and realize, even in this situation, God has promised by His wisdom and by His might to bring some good out of it, because He's going to make me more like Jesus and He's going to be glorified. And therefore, I can be meek and gentle in this situation. I don't have to become a raving maniac and just fight my way out of it. Jesus says, the reward of the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Now, I think He's talking about the future promise of the millennial kingdom, when those who are His will rule and reign with Him for those 1,000 years. The kingdom will be ours. But I think He's also talking about that kingdom of God within, that a person has who becomes a Christian, who has the rule of God in their hearts. I think Jesus is referring to the meek when He says in John 12, "He who loses his life for my sake shall find it." The meek person loses his life. He's not me, me, me. He's give, give, give. Not what can I get, but what can I give? I think Jesus was talking about the meek person when He says in verse 24, "Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." We've got to die to ourselves. The meek person is dead to his own goals and desires and ambitions. He has surrendered those to Jesus. All to Jesus he surrendered. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. How are you doing today? Are you gentle? Look to God to produce in you that gentleness that glorifies Him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You that You've not called us to be anything that You will not enable us to be in Your grace. Give us the honesty to admit where we're far short of the meekness, the gentleness that you have spoken of in this verse. And may our honesty bring us to confess our shortcomings and look to you to produce in us, through your Spirit, that gentleness, that meekness that is so precious in your sight. It's in your name I pray. Amen.